Hello, and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast. My name is James Johnson, and I'm here with my co-host,
Edward Dickey.
Edward,
how are we doing, man?
We got in the middle of maybe one of the best days of sports. There are a few days of sports that I love. Let me just run down the list real quick, okay? I'll talk about the day in just a minute. But Super Bowl Sunday, obviously, is a good day. Opening day on NFL Sunday, always great, always fun. Thanksgiving Day, always good. Sunday at the Masters, if Tiger Woods is in it,
always just good. Sunday at the Masters is always great.
That's always good. And then today, opening day, today and tomorrow, actually, opening 2 days of the NCAA tournament.
I would say this is one of the best 96 hours of sport. Like,
yeah, this opening weekend.
It's just like...
just constant barrage.
And it's one of those where you're flipping channels.
Yeah.
And of course, right now we're...
and people
we're
are
just sitting
upset
and doing a podcast.
And now here we're doing a podcast, and there's games happening right now.
Yeah, this is always fun.
Yeah,
and you know,
that's going to be our.
We'll get into it.
We're going to talk about that fun, but for our big today, I want to take a minute to stop and reflect on what has become of our precious National Football League. Now, we are technically in the off season, but we've been through now free agency. We got the draft coming up here in about a month or so.
Roughly.
But now the first kind of free agency has happened, and there's a lot of new players and a lot of new teams, and the Dallas Cowboys have gotten worse. And
which is weird.
It's fantastic. It's just
because it turns out we're not all in.
Or we don't know what all in means.
I don't think he knows what all in means.
I don't know if I would want to play poker with him. He's like, oh, I'm all in.
I'm all in, but I'm
no.
I'm
that means you
not.
Have to put your chips
I'm,
in,
I'm
Jerry.
Actually folding.
Oh, well, no. Then what I meant was I fold. I mean, come on.
But
let's
and,
talk
you know,
about
so
it.
We were talking. We kind of met up after the first day of free agency, and that's where you know you have the big splashes, like you know the Kirk Cousins, the Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins was the big one right out the gate. Right?
Yeah. Maybe a little too early.
turns out you could have got Justin Fields for like a dollar.
Well, no, not that, but maybe a little tampering. Hopefully not, but
hopefully,
you know.
Well, you never know.
We'll let the system play out. But now is kind of when all of the the middle tier players.
Right.
And you're like, oh, whoa. So the NFL is going to look widely different.
Yeah,
it's going to be crazy.
Yeah. A lot of running backs flipped over to different teams.
Yeah, like...
I know your boy, Desmond Ridder, is...
Where'd he go?
He's no longer with the Atlanta Falcons. It doesn't matter. Did he go to the Broncos?
No.
Did he go... He went out west, didn't he? Oh, he went to Arizona.
Yes.
I'm almost positive he went to Arizona.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we got...
never to be heard from again.
We got some pick for him, and great. I sent you a video of his highlights.
That was the funniest thing I'd seen in a long time.
And it's
just him throwing picks and then talking about how I can't miss, man. I can't miss.
With targets this big, I can't miss.
The hardest thing to do is good to be miss these guys.
And the fumbling on the fumbling on the 1 yard line, like all of
that was fantastic. Whoever put that together, that's
man!
Fantastic.
But and like there were other bad plays, but
what have you guys? What else has the Falcons done? You know,
we've picked up some receivers.
Okay, yeah, well, that's right. That's right.
We re-signed a D tackle.
That's right. That's right.
We picked up Ray McCloud.
Okay.
He's most likely going to be a punt returner.
Okay.
But you know. We need receivers, so I can see
But what you've
him.
Done is you've gotten better.
Yes,
you're
yes.
a better team today than you were at the end of the season.
Yes.
Let me tell you what the Cowboys have done. After we made the landmark move of re-signing our long snapper, and then nothing for a week, we let Tyron Smith go.
Y'all signed
let
a
Pollard go. We then brought in a linebacker,
yeah.
a second-rate mid-tier linebacker who had a Pro Bowl 5 or 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe he was very good a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's fine. And then we re-signed Rico Dowdle. So now we have two running backs, Deuce Vaughn and Rico Dowdle in
our where's Rico Dowdle from?
He's from Dallas. He's like on our practice squad or something like
that. Oh, so he wasn't even like a...
No.
He wasn't even like someone else's backup.
No, he was our backup, like our third-string running back. So we got him locked down, though. So
which is nice. It's better than nothing, I guess you could say.
Just barely, maybe. It might be better than nothing because we might be forced to do something. But let's talk about some of the free agents that are still out there.
Yes.
Just for a minute, all right? So I'm looking at a list right now of the best available free agents. Number one being Broncos safety Justin Simmons is available. He's out there. That's somebody they had to cut. He's a great player.
Yeah.
Somebody they had to cut because the Broncos franchise is imploding and I believe has fallen into the ocean somehow
and,
from
and,
the top
and,
of the
Denver,
mountain
yeah.
and rolled down the mountain into the Pacific Ocean.
Well, and I guess they've just got to bottom out right now.
Yeah.
Like with that
yeah,
cap
they
hit.
They got to just reset.
Like with that dead money, you've got to just kind of bottom out.
Then you've got someone like Cowboys cornerback Stephon Gilmore, who I don't know if he's 34 years old. I don't know that he's going to find a place for not big money, obviously.
My guess is he'll
come back to Dallas.
I'd be shocked if he's not back in Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. And we probably don't need him, but he's always good. I mean, you always need another corner. So
and
I think
at that, like, you need as many pieces from that defense back as
yeah,
you can get.
Yeah, I think so. And then we lost another guy, our nose tackle, to Dan Quinn or to somebody who worked for Dan Quinn or something like that.
To Seattle
for somebody who used to be our defensive assistant and is now a defensive coordinator out of Seattle or something. Oh, my gosh. Quandre Diggs is still out there. Jadeveon Clowney.
Now, Clowney is an interesting one because I feel like he's been habitually a free agent.
I feel like he's always available.
And, yeah.
and the only thing I remember of him is that Michigan tackle from college.
Well, he played Georgia once and, like, had 5 sacks.
Well,
and it was,
who hasn't done that?
It was the most disheartening thing I've ever seen. But he's always, like, a good, not great edge rusher, but, like, I would love him with the Falcon. Like, throw all of our $3 million at him.
Now this list, this list has Calais Campbell available still. Is that something you guys are working on, or do you know?
I hope so. I think he is a good veteran piece.
37 years old,
but he let us. He like was almost our sack leader.
Yeah,
like
he had 6.5 sacks last year.
Yeah,
that might be like a career high for the Falcons. I don't even know.
I mean, I could see him coming back as a veteran piece.
Jamal Adams is still out there.
Really?
J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins is interesting. This is where I think Dallas should go. J.K. Dobbins, who is still like 24, 25 years old, he's coming off a couple major Achilles injuries.
So you're going to be able to get him cheap.
Cheap. And
I think I would guess there's still some tread on those tires.
I would hope so, man. Odell
Beckham's
still out there.
It's better than, like, you know, whatever you'll have.
That's exactly right. Rico Dowdle.
Yeah, I forgot his name.
Rico Dowdle. I forgot his name. In the 5 minutes between that conversation.
Now here's an interesting one that I heard this morning. Odell Beckham to the Dolphins.
Oh, that'd be fun. I mean,
because he'd be cheap.
He'd be cheap. He's at this point like a possession receiver kind of guy.
And he's another veteran receiver for that room.
Yeah.
And you know, if Odell Beckham's on the field, he's going to command some
attention, right?
Some attention, which is attention
away
from Tyreek
Hill. He's still got something left. Michael Thomas is still out there available. I don't know what he's got left.
Some more slants.
Slant. Tyler Boyd. Remember when Tyler Boyd was like the next big thing?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Well, I mean, he's going to sign somewhere and he'll be fine. But yeah,
he's had at least 58 catches for 6 straight years.
Hey, that's
so
not
that's
terrible.
Not unbad. Yeah, that's not unbad. I just said.
Well, and it's like, you know, you need that guy. You know, you need a second and a third receiver.
So off the top of your head, do you know, like, who do you think is the most improved team right now based off of what's happened in free agency? I mean, I think the Falcons are on that list just by getting the quarterback because you guys already had so many pieces. But when you think about what is the most improved team for the NFL coming into next year, do you have an idea of who that might be? I would put the Falcons up there. I think
the Commanders got a lot better.
Well, we don't talk about them.
I mean, they got Austin Eckler, Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz is still in the league.
Dante Fowler.
Oh, yeah.
Dan
interesting.
Dan Quinn keeps bringing him around.
Yeah, he does.
But the Texans with Joe Mixon, Hunter, that the defensive end that we were after.
Yeah.
Jeff Okuda. I mean, they got a lot better. I think Houston's going to be a solid team just going off of free agency.
I think that's probably right. And they were already pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they hit it out of the park with CJ Cloud. Let me ask you this. So a team that's kind of got better, but still needs to do some work, but maybe has already won free agency, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's talk about this. I don't know if we talked about this. They knocked down Russell Wilson for $1 million, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, when someone's already paying you.
And then they trade for Justin Fields.
For
the guy that everyone was like, oh, this is the next guy. This is the guy.
Yeah, which is, and that's going to be a very interesting locker room situation.
Yeah.
Because, like, the number one receiver, George Pickens, I don't know if he's number one. One of their top receivers, George Pickens.
Yeah. I think he's their only receiver now because they got rid of Deontay Johnson or whatever.
Oh, that's right.
They don't have anybody else right now. They brought in Van Jefferson, wide receiver Van Jefferson.
But so Justin Fields and him played at Georgia together. Justin Fields, like, that's a pretty young locker room.
Yeah.
And so I think Justin Fields will kind of gel with those guys better. And Russell's, like, everyone, he's a weird dude. Like, he's not going to be hanging out on Xbox Live with those guys. You know, like, it's... And so it's going to be interesting because when Russell inevitably starts to struggle,
right? When he fails to cook,
you know, when he's only the sous chef.
But you get a good look at Justin Fields, and you know, you start with Russell. I think you have a competition, right?
And I think it's got to be.
And you see what happens, but and it doesn't cost you anything. Like, it's basically free.
How was it that the Bears took that?
They had to get rid of him.
And I think they waited it out long enough to where it was like, you have to take a quarterback at one.
Yeah.
And so you have to, like, we'll offer you a day three pick.
I feel like they could have got a second round pick if they had traded him earlier in the offseason.
Yes,
From, but
it felt almost like they were, but it felt like they just held on, like they were holding on to it, waiting for a better offer, and
then
everything died. Do you
think they were trying to make a decision? Is it a possibility that they were like, maybe we'll just keep Justin Fields in? Because they get a lot for trading back.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
And they just never got an offer for that first pick. I would
guess, like, once they got the day three pick offer, they're like, okay,
we need to pull.
Yeah, we got
it. It's not even for
trigger.
This year.
Yeah.
It's next year.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
It's 2025. They can move up to a four if Fields, you know, shows something.
Calvin Ridley.
But we also got
not,
Tennessee
not
Titans.
Getting us a
Tennessee
second
Titans
pick.
Picking up Tony Pollard. Good luck with that. Calvin Ridley, who turns out to be pretty good.
And
Mason Rudolph.
Calvin Ridley is obviously very good at football, but like he's had it down 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be interesting to see what they get him
for a year, and then he came back.
Yeah.
Last year.
Well, sorry,
so
down 3 years. Though.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't what he was before this year.
Right, but I think he's getting back up there.
Yeah, and he's obviously great, a great football player.
So the Commanders, you were talking about them before, I like to call them the Commies, the Washington Commies. I hope they change that name. From what I understand, that's in the works. They're going to change the name. I would love it if they went back to the Washington football team, in all honesty, without any irony.
Yeah.
I liked that. Not that I hate them. So this is, but they added Austin Eckler.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I'm just going down the list here. Marcus Mariota. I mean, let's
I saw
go.
That. I saw that on
let's
the list.
Go.
I was looking
They've
at.
Got our center Tyler Bidaz, Dorrance Armstrong, our edge rusher Dorrance Armstrong.
And wasn't Dante Fowler with y'all?
Yeah, Dante Fowler was with us, so they got him too.
Yeah, because Dan Quinn just seems
and
to bring him
Bobby
everywhere.
And they brought in Bobby Wagner.
I mean, that's Wagner. Now it's a.
It's an old Bobby
It's
Wagner.
An old, but it's an older free
Bobby
agent
Wagner.
Group.
Yeah.
But
that's
I think it's a very good
were.
One.
Yeah. Another of your rivals, Carolina Panthers, is on this list, bringing in Drew Locke. Brian Burns.
He's good.
Isaiah McKenzie. John Runyon.
And Isaiah McKenzie's still running around.
Devin Singletary still in the league. That's nice. That's good. The Raiders, number four on this list, bringing in... Oh, they brought in Alexander Mattison. I didn't even know he was available. Another running back Dallas didn't even look at. Gardner Minshew. All right, that's good. Houston
Minshew.
Texans on this list. You've already talked about them a little bit. They got Joe Mixon.
But you know really what this has done?
I didn't realize. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Have you ever played Wordle?
Once, maybe.
So there's a version of that called Weddle. And it's like NFL players.
Yeah.
It's made that game so much harder because everyone's just so flipped around right now.
That's great.
They just kind of shuffled the deck a little bit.
The Bears are number two on this list already. Keenan Allen coming in, Ryan Bates, Kevin.
Oh, no,
they've
had a great.
Yeah.
Like,
they're ready. DeAndre Swift, I mean, they're ready to plug and play a quarterback, looks like to me.
And, I mean, it's going to depend on if they can keep him upright. But,
Number one on this list is the Atlanta Falcons, Kirk Cousins, Ray-Ray McCloud the third. Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore, Charlie Warner, Warner?
Yeah, he from the Pride and Joy of Raven County.
I noticed that the Cowboys aren't on this list, so I'm not sure why they left them off, but we're just going to go ahead and put a pin in that. Let's talk about another franchise like the Cowboys that is very valuable and very popular, but doesn't really win a lot. The L.A. Dodgers.
There we go.
Now, they made a free agent signing.
Huge one.
This past offseason.
And a couple big ones.
Maybe a guy who people say is the greatest baseball player of all time. Some people have said that.
Some people
He's
have.
He's the only pitcher since Babe Ruth who has both been a all-star pitcher and a slugger, home run slugger in the same kind of way that Babe Ruth was. First time since 2000.
Which is bonkers. Like
1920.
Yeah.
And this is, of course, the Japanese import, Shohei Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And they brought in another one whose name I can't pronounce. But
yeah, we're not going to worry about him. We're going to talk about Shohei Ohtani today.
Well, I'm going to bring him up in a minute.
And this is our sad today. Why are we sad that Shohei Ohtani is playing for the Dodgers? Are we sad that he's playing for the Dodgers? Yes, we are sad he's playing for the Dodgers.
I'm glad that he's going to be on TV more.
Today. Today we're sad because it turns out he's got a translation problem.
His interpreter's stealing money from him.
Well, that's the first story we heard. So the first story we heard was that his interpreter has stolen $4.5 million from him, and now he's been fired.
Yeah.
Here's what's come out since then. His interpreter gambled away $4.5 million.
Which is how?
he got $4.5 million.
Like,
he gambled away. Shohei Ohtani covered his debts, like personally went in and signed the check. Because he didn't want to give the money to the interpreter because he thought he might go gamble it some more. And so he signed the check. But it looks like now Shohei Ohtani has been the one that's been gambling. And now there's a question of, like, well, what's going on here, guys? You say one thing, then you say the other.
It doesn't help that Shohei is...
He's like, baseball has been very, very good to me.
Well, so, but he's very private.
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't announce the name of his dog.
Right.
Like,
he keeps those things. His
wife wasn't known until like a week ago.
Yeah,
like it's very private, and so that kind of makes it harder. Because
this interpreter of his is a really close, like, brother, friend kind of guy. He's not like, it's like me and you, right? It's close.
Yeah.
Like, if you had gambling debts, I would step in there.
No, you wouldn't.
And pray for you. Pray
hard
for you.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, you wouldn't.
If I had $1 million, I'd give it to you. But these guys are tight. They're close.
Yeah.
So the story on the surface, which one, number one, is it? Is it he's stealing money, or is it that Shohei stepped in? Because there's receipts. Receipts with Shohei's signature.
Yeah.
Apparently.
So I would guess it's probably, there's probably like truth in all the stories, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sure this guy's side is the one pitching the gambling story.
Yeah.
Shohei is the one pitching the stolen money story.
Right.
And chances are there's like, he probably covered some of the gambling debt, and then he took more and gambled more.
Because if he really is that close to Shohei, who knows what happens behind closed doors, but that's a lot of money to steal that you don't notice is gone.
Well, and also it's like, I believe they said that his salary is like $100,000, which, great salary.
Right, that's more than I make.
But you don't have $4 million.
Yeah.
If like, where did that money come? Like, it had to come from somewhere.
Are you getting it on leverage? Are you getting it on loan? And because you are connected to Ohtani, and you're using Ohtani's name?
I don't think if you are that in debt gambling, that you're able to be on TV as often as he is. You know?
Well, here's the other thing.
You would think some casino would send someone after him.
The other thing is, in order to have a $4.5 million debt, you don't necessarily have to had $4.5 million to begin with.
But you have
with.
To have had someone who would give it to you.
Well, but you didn't have to have to place the bet.
That's true.
So
that's
he
true.
Could have made a $200,000 bet that ended up owing $4.5 million. If it's a really terrible bet, I mean that is not impossible. I mean, if he picked the Dallas Cowboys to win the Super Bowl last year and he put everything he had on, he probably owes $4.5 million, right? Now it's clear. It's come out that he didn't gamble on any baseball or anything like that. He knew that he couldn't do that.
Good. But still, it's a weird story.
It's weird.
Yamamoto, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm butchering his name, but he was his interpreter as well.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And I think he had to go out there last night, because like he was the only, because they're in Korea.
Yeah.
And he was the only interpreter there.
Oh wow.
And so like he had to go out. I think if I have that story right, I think he had to go out there, even though he was like fired, like, and because Yamamoto like got shelled in his first game, but yeah.
So here's the thing, like you're right, Ohtani has been a very private person. He's kept everything,
which makes it harder.
He's kept everything in compartments and he's kept everything away. He's not going to be able to do that anymore. I mean, the doors
not
are getting
this.
Kicked open.
Yeah.
All right? And not just with this. I think the rest of his life, like every reporter in the world, he's lucky in a sense. He's lucky he plays for the Dodgers now, because if this was the Yankees or if this was the Red Sox.
But I would say the Dodgers are up there. They're on that level. They're not Yankees.
New York.
New York or Boston would be destroying him
right now. Destroy him. Even if it was
But
Chicago.
Like you're going to like if he was on the Orioles, though, people would care less.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No offense to Baltimore, but
yeah.
Like I would say LA is a very large market.
It is a large market, but is it?
And it's not I don't think it's as it's not as ruthless of a press.
But it's not.
As,
yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that the LA
the New York media.
I don't feel like LA press care about sports at all. For the most
probably
part.
Not. Not compared to New York.
Yeah. I mean, New York, he would be eaten alive right now. I mean, just by the fans.
Although,
who knows?
You know, it's another thing, though, where once the season starts and he starts hitting dingers.
Yeah, no one's going to care.
Yeah, literally no one's going to care.
Unless this distracts him. You know, unless this becomes a thing where he's not... He has trained his mind so that everything is outside of that when he steps up to the plate. But now, I don't know that he's gonna. I don't know. We'll see.
It's a big we'll see, but it's a very interesting story because this is like the first sign of trouble we've seen from Shohei.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
he's
everything's
been the golden boy, man.
Everything's been hunky dory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Up until this, and it's gonna be interesting to see how
he
handles this.
It'll be interesting to see.
And now chances are he's, you know, they're going to PR the crap out of this.
No doubt.
And they're going to pin it all on this guy.
Now we know.
Shohei will keep going.
What we know about Ohtani is this. He can throw a fastball. He's one of the best pitchers in the league. He can ding a home run out of the ballpark. But can he shoot a three?
One more fun thing about Shohei.
You're messing up my transition.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Do you know his wife is a professional Japanese basketball player?
No, I did not.
Yeah, so that may be the most athletic child if they have
kids.
Oh,
my gosh.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of a professional Japanese basketball player.
I
didn't even know that was a thing.
But someone like was putting out highlight tapes of her, and I was like, she can shoot.
So here's the question. Did she go to college?
I don't know.
Would she go to college in the United States? Did she play or could she play in what we call March Madness, which is what's going on right now?
I would say probably. Yeah.
So
but
this is
what we were going to talk about earlier. But yeah, I mean,
March Madness has begun. The tournament has begun. We're sitting here inside instead of on a patio drinking a beer, watching basketball games right now.
Stuff.
So
as if we're not both looking at our clocks.
Yeah, let's get through this and let's talk a little bit about what we think's happening in the brackets. Now, let me be honest with you. I'll be upfront. I don't care about college basketball at all. I care about the tournament. I watch the tournament. I like the chaos of it. I like the madness of it, you might say. I fill out a bracket every year. I have my bracket right here in front of me. I was not invited to be part of the Big Sad Fun tournament, so we'll try to fix that later. But just give me some overall thoughts, man. What do you expect to see?
So far, pretty good. I'm hoping Houston wins. That's what
I
got winning it all.
You like the four number ones?
Yeah.
You got anybody?
I mean, I don't think North Carolina's that great.
I
mean,
I've got them going to the Elite Eight.
Okay. Two games have finished, right?
Right.
As we started recording, I don't know what's happened since we started.
Yep.
I have lost both.
Who are they? What games were those?
I had Mississippi State beating Michigan State.
I had Mississippi State beaten.
Well, then
Michigan
you
State won?
Michigan State won big.
Well, I can still change mine. Hold on.
And then
BYU
lost to a school whose name I can't pronounce.
Oh, Duquesne.
I picked
Duquesne to win that game.
Which is LeBron's high school coach is the head coach of Duquesne. And so LeBron gave them all like some fresh new shoes for the tournament.
Oh, and with magic powers in them?
I guess. I mean, because they beat BYU, the Stormin' Mormons.
You know, sometimes.
But yeah, so.
There's your upset right there, man. That's our first big upset of the tournament.
Who do you have in your Final Four?
All right, so my Final Four is a hodgepodge of could-have-beens, would-have-beens, should-have-beens. But I've got Kentucky. Beating Wisconsin because I had Wisconsin beating Houston because I always cheer for the Whiskey Badgers. I've got Tennessee beating Gonzaga and then Tennessee beating Kentucky to go. So my Final Four is Kentucky, Tennessee. I've got Arizona beating the University of North Carolina. And then I've got Illinois beating UConn to be in the Final Four.
So I have UConn, Alabama.
Okay.
And Houston, Gonzaga.
So we are our Final Fours are completely different, yeah. Radically different. That'll be fun.
Yeah,
that'll
exactly.
That'll be fun to see what happens there.
And then I have Houston winning it all. I think they have
good
guards.
That good?
I think they have good guards, and good guards usually win it. But I think UConn is very impressive, and they've got most of that team back from last year.
Yeah, and they won last year, right?
Yeah, they really won last year, and they have. I mean, but they have like five guys who can give you 20 a night anytime. So they're a solid pick.
Now, I've got Illinois beating UConn, and I'll tell you the reason why I picked Illinois is because I heard they won the Big Ten tournament,
and
right?
That's not
easy to do, right? So
that's why I don't have them winning though. It's because I think they're beatable.
Okay. They got lucky.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, you know, it's a fun tournament. It's 96 hours of chaos.
It is. It's gonna be a lot of fun, man. I'm looking forward to everything that's gonna happen. Do you any players we should be looking out for? Anybody, any names you want to throw out there?
Yeah, Nasmi, I could have railed off seven, but you know.
Okay.
Right now, absolutely nothing. You know, oh, okay. Here's one thing. Have you followed at all this, the Long Beach, I think it's Long Beach State's coach story?
Is this the guy who got fired but then won the tournament that he was in?
Yeah, now,
I heard, just as I was walking in today, I heard he's like, hey guys, look, I don't have to answer any questions. I'm working for free.
Yeah.
This is like George Seinfeld, you know, or George Costanza from Seinfeld trying to get fired, but they keep showing up to work.
Yeah, they're losing right now, but...
Who is this now? This is Long Island? Long Beach State.
I think that's who it is. But...
Oh, yeah, they're playing Arizona.
It's a funny story, and I hope they can pull off the 15-2 upset.
That would be great. That'd be great.
Just to keep that going.
Keep that story going, man.
Now, the other thing I thought was interesting was the NCAA was talking about, like, well, maybe we should expand this tournament.
Oh, that's chaos.
And everyone was like, no, please.
This is enough.
And it's like, y'all have the best postseason out of like any sport.
Nobody wants
we don't need more team, like you have a good thing going.
You know, last year we did for March Madness, we did a bracket of our own with movies. Remember that? Sports movies. And when I was driving in today, one of the sports stations here on the radio is doing a bracket of bad brackets. So they're basically making fun of the thing that we did.
Oh, nice. All right,
putting those brackets, and they found 64 different brackets that have nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
And then they're putting them in competition with each other.
That's funny. Right? That's very funny.
Right before and then having people vote on Twitter, and you're supposed to vote on what's worse. And right now, as I was walking in the door today, Hot Men from Disney was beating the Pope 66% by 66% or something like
that's
that.
That's amazing. Morehead State is currently beating Illinois.
Oh, no.
It's 27-23, so it's
my
not
my entire bracket's about to go out the window.
But
don't you love it?
Yeah, but that's kind of what's fun.
Yeah, it is what's fun.
And you know, I love that you can't have a perfect bracket. It's almost impossible.
We will, but you know what we might do after this first round gets through? Maybe we'll sit down and talk a little bit more about what we see happening in the Elite Eight and Final Four coming up. But anyway, thanks for joining us today, guys. Edward, thank you for being here. Let's go watch some basketball.
Yeah, let's do it.